Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Talking Cop on Sunday night. I'm your host, Shawnee, tonight. I'm joined by Keith and I'm joined by Emmett. We've been a bit of a delay coming on, as everyone knows, a little bit of admin stuff, and we decided we're not going to waste much more time fixing the names up, and he's just going to have to deal with it. We're going to talk about Liverpool against Spurs today. The Reds getting back to sort of winning ways. Wasn't without its flaws, we'll touch on that, but it was nice to get a win, and third place now secured. Is there still hope for the title? We'll talk about that. Of course there's not, but on the feed I was watching today, they were going out of their way to talk about it still being a chance. But look, it's just good that Liverpool have secured the third spot. We didn't get overtaken from a psychological point of view. You don't want to do that. Shawnee, I'm going to come to you first. Liverpool started the day. The team lineup came out. What did you make of the lineup?
Can I be totally honest with you?
Yeah.
I literally was sitting in a bear garden and rocked up for kickoff. I didn't even check the starting lineup, I swear to God. And I'm not saying that to be edgy or anything. As the game was unfolding, I was like, oh, he's playing. And I had no real issue with it, to be honest. But I didn't check it before the game. I'd be lying through my teeth if I said I did. But so I had no real issues with it. And I actually think it's probably something I'm going to do going forward now as well. Because yeah,
you get the weather for it. Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you? Right, Emmett, I'll come to you then. What did you make of the lineup when the news broke about who was playing?
Yeah, I was happy enough with it. Like, it's rare that you look at it and go, oh, fuck's sake. But I think Elliot deserved his start for his performances this season. Gakpo has deserved his start on his performances the last few weeks. He had a bit of a dodgy patch in the middle of the season, well, January, February time. But I think he's been excellent the last few weeks since he's playing in more of his natural position. I think it's where he played for PSV, wasn't it, before he came to us? That's more of where he would have lined up normally. I know Gav has said that it's either there or where he plays through the middle but drops into midfield to pick it up. But I think we've seen his best games now out of him the last few weeks coming in off the left. And I don't even think he started out on the left. I think he actually started through the middle, but they kept switching himself and Diaz, we were talking about it earlier on. Even Elliot wound up on that left-hand side at one stage. But and then Kwanzaa, who I think is probably our young player of the season. We've all said it, he saved us a few bob. And I think he deserved his start as well. He's probably been a little bit more solid. Kanate, I know he's had an injury and that, but he's looked a little bit more solid than Kanate the last few weeks. So, I was fine with it.
Kev said it was nice to see us torn up. The week's rest did us the world of good. Is he talking about Liverpool or is he talking about Wolves 3 coming on late? I don't know. Might have to clarify that in the chat. One of the things, I was delighted to see Elliot start, but it did give me a bit of a concern that we were going in with a midfield three of Endo, McAllister and Elliot. Just physicality-wise, I thought, a bit on the small side. And I seen the Spurs line up and they went man for man in the midfield with Bentancur, Basuma and Sarr. I thought we might have got overrun in there, but I thought Elliot actually was brilliant all day. And Shawnee, like, he's a player that's we've spoke about him quite a lot in the past on this channel. Where does he fit? Where's his position? I thought he put in a great shift today, and he capped it off with a great goal that he deserved. But all around, what did you make of him?
Yeah, I thought he was probably the best player on the pitch outside Kwanzaa. I thought they were our two standouts, to be honest. I think Elliot's had a really, really good season. I would have been one of the fans of the opinion this time last year, where I'm thinking, what does he do? Where does he fit in? Where's his best position? What does he excel in? What does he give us? But most of them questions have been answered this season. Still probably question marks over where his best position is today. But I thought it was weird. It was like we two right wingers at some stages today where he was going outside Mo and Mo was drifting in. And I think the older Mo gets, the closer the goal he should be. Because I think that's what's killed Mo in recent weeks, is that we're kind of deploying him as an out-and-out winger, and he's just getting bullied and pushed off the ball. You see him a lot more effective today in and around the box. And Mo and Elliot always seem to link up and play well together. That does seem to be an understanding there. But I thought he was excellent. I'd argue he's our best player today. And he tops it off with a goal and a lovely assist. And it's a crowning performance from him. And I think he is one of the players that the incoming manager, who may thrive under the incoming manager and the system that he plays and kind of the football that he deploys. So yeah, it's been a shit last few weeks as a Liverpool fan in terms of getting up on the excitement and kind of the feeling around Klopp's exit and ending up out of all the competitions and all and kind of going out on a little bit of a whimper. But I have to say one thing. I think like some of Klopp's interviews and all this week have been really brilliant. I think he's probably, he looks like, obviously he's made peace with the fact that he's going out the way he's going out. But I love the interview we did with Sky during the week. It's kind of a bit of reflection. And I think when the game kicked off today, I was actually going to post in the WhatsApp. I was going to write in a WhatsApp. I was like, it'd be just nice for the boys to show up today and put on a performance for Klopp, regardless of the legs or whatever, or gone out. But it'd be just nice to rock up at Anfield and put on a good performance. And that's exactly what they did. And I know whatever about the two late goals conceded, yeah, that's going to be in the story of the season. But we looked a lot more like ourselves today, and I think a lot of that was largely down to Harvey Elliott. Like that's as high about him as I can speak.
Emmett, what did you make of the way he lined up?
Yeah, I agree with Shani. I thought like Elliott was probably, he was kind of nearly even leading the press, and he always seems to do that. Like for someone like, and we've spoken that he probably is not blessed with pace. Still, he gets around every blade of grass. And look, some of the best players in the world have never been blessed with pace, so it's not their be-all and end-all, but I just think there's a composure. He always wants the ball. He's always, like, and he does what we have been guilty of not doing recently, and I think that they all did today, is move it, the tempo was higher, move the ball quicker. We tended to look after it a little bit more. Kev O'Sullivan said there as well, and said in the post-match, Endo as well moved it a little bit quicker. He just got it and moved it on, whereas he's been guilty in the past of maybe holding on to it too much. But maybe that's because there wasn't movement in front of him as well. Like, do you know what I mean? So it just looked like I'm in two minds as to whether was it the weak break or was it because the pressure was off, or is it a combination of both? I would like to think it's the week's break, given that we are playing every 3 days. What was it? The shortest turnaround in world football for our games?
Four games.
116 hours or something like that, average in between games. I would like to think it's the week's break, because there's still plenty of players in that team that have felt the pressure before, have won European Cup, have won the league. I know it's sprinkled with people that haven't really won a league or Champions League as well, but I'd like to think it was more the rest. But I thought we were excellent today, bar maybe the first 10 minutes or so, and then obviously the stinker in the second half. But it just felt like, I think that's probably, in patches, probably our best performance, bar maybe Chelsea this season. in the league. And even with all the other games that we won, we haven't been absolutely brilliant at all this season. We've been just getting enough done. Chelsea and today, I thought, were our two best performances.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Just getting it done. Today, I thought, like, we started off well, Shawnee. Salah did look up for it when he hasn't. And you made the point about moving more centrally. And as you said, today, you could see Elliot did do a lot of sort of overlapping on that side. And Trent was pushing up rather than inverting. Trent was much more in a wide area as well. And you could see Salah looked a lot more hungry. Now, I was personally critical of him last week and a bit scathing about his performances recently at Stamford. Yeah, you know, he hasn't been good. Been good enough. Really hasn't been good enough. Today, I thought he looked a bit sharper. I thought he looked like he had a little bit of hunger in him. And it was all down to being close at the goal, in my opinion. Now, I know he has the one where he's the outside of the foot, hits the crossbar. It's a bit of a fluky one or whatever. But he seemed to be picking up them central areas and he did look a bit more dangerous, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He looked a lot more like himself. He's heavily involved in... He's heavily involved in three of the goals. Like he forces the rebound off the keeper for the second one because look at his position. He's right down the middle of the goal. I think it's just sometimes he's just been... He's gotten isolated, but normally if you see Salah isolated with a fullback, you're delighted. But it hasn't been the case because he hasn't looked like himself since that coming back from that injury. And I, like you, I've been skating. We're fixed up now.
Gav's in the background.
Came in. His OCD kicked in, I'd say, and he's like, get that fixed up now. Gav, yeah, I couldn't fix it. I was trying to do it in the background there. It wasn't happening, so well done for that.
I just think he hasn't been himself. And I think that's, like, you could put your hand up and say, all right, it's the four serious injuries he's kind of had since he's joined Liverpool. He missed 3 months of football quietly. Like 3 months of football. I think he plays the last game was December and then features 25 minutes against Brentford and then he's out again for another 2 or 3 weeks. Now, I could be wrong there, but that's if I remember correctly. So, yeah, we probably were a little bit harsh on him, but again, you help yourself with your attitude and your application, and I think he let himself down those in that aspect. But much better today. Has he turned the corner in this form? I don't think we'll know because there's just so little in the season left. We go away to Villa now next Monday and then wrap it up then against Wolves. So we won't really know. And it genuinely could be a case where you can count on one hand how many games Mo has left playing for Liverpool, because regardless of the rhetoric kind of being poured out into the media there by the likes of Ornstein and that, I do reckon the club are 100% open to letting them go. The only thing where I kind of go, Mo and his character, like, let's be honest, Saudi Arabia is practically retirement. And I think as poor as he's been in the last 3 months, I'd still think it's way too early for Salah to be packing up and going over there for a payday. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the summer. Obviously, look at his output again. I think he's the second player in history to do 3 consecutive seasons, 10 goals, 10 assists. Like, it can't be sniffed at.
First ever.
No, Rooney's done it.
Yeah.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
I saw him out this morning, so today, saying he was the first ever to do it.
No, Rooney's done it. Listen, our greatest player in the Premier League era, I've absolutely no quarrels and put my hand up and saying that. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at Mount this summer. If that's his level, Jesus, yeah, of course you keep him around. But I don't know. I'd like to see more than that now between now and a fortnight's time when we're wrapping up the league. It was good. Mo's really good to watch when he's in that form. So long may it continue, or will it, or won't it. we don't know. I think that's one of the most up in the air scenarios this summer. I think it's definitely going to be interesting.
I
agree with Shani. Saudi is a retirement home. You have to remember as well that Salah's probably still very good friends and talks to probably Bobby on a regular basis. And I think Bobby was rumored to have wanted to be getting out of there as well. So I honestly don't see him going there. Where else could he go? What you needed to see this week was a reaction. It could have been very easy for Salah to go the route of, and this will probably break Shawnee's heart, when the likes of Torres, when he wasn't feeling it, he felt that promises were broken and he wasn't getting what he wanted at Liverpool. He was a bit sulky, and it would have been very easy for Salah to be like that from now till the end of the season. But he comes out this week and he certainly made me eat humble pie, because I thought, if that's going to be his attitude, like, how dare you? And if you want to go. But I don't know where else he goes. PSG, maybe. Other than that,
That's the one getting mentioned, really, isn't it? Yeah. They're losing Mbappe. Do they need a superstar? But they seem to be moving away from the whole.
Yeah. But look, come here. I'd be all for him staying and signing an extension, but I wouldn't be doing anything with his money, because no one's going to match that money elsewhere if he decides to go somewhere. I can see him seeing out his last year. Whether Edwards and that will allow him to go for free next year, I'm not sure. Do they want to cash in on him now, or maybe say sign a 1-year extension? But I wouldn't be doing that with his money. But it was really good to see the reaction from him today. He could have easily just sulked around the place till the end of the season and looked for a move. So, I thought he was really good today. Really good. I know he was up against Emerson Royale, but maybe that's the game that somebody needs to refine their form. And Sean is right. Like, he's never really come back from injuries before. So, like, it could have been a struggle. I think that's probably his longest time out since his shoulder in the Champions League final in 2018. Has he been injured since then?
Yeah, but he was only out for about 2 weeks with that, because he went to the World Cup.
But that's what I'm saying. So he's not used to coming back from injury. Yeah. So he's not used to being laid off. So maybe it did just take him that little bit longer to get back up.
The hamstring's always an interesting one when you're a player who's reliant on pace.
You're reluctant to test it.
Yeah, look at the shape of him. Salah's a specimen. Yeah. I don't think... Like, you couldn't have any... there's no questions about his condition or his lifestyle off the pitch. Or is he going to go up a hill? Like, I don't think it's a case where he's just slowing down. I think it's just maybe was the injury. You can't like look at the condition of the fella. I don't know. Listening to him speak, I find he's a very interesting character. He's banging into his numbers. You don't think he makes that any secret. Souness had a great interview the other day, and it was completely taken out of context when Souness basically said he's the most selfish player he's ever seen, but in the best way possible. Like, in what you want your players to be, the way Dalglish was selfish, the way Rush was selfish, that he wants to get all the goals and he wants to be the main fella. And there's little quirks, the things he does, the way he walks out of the tunnel last, has it all in his head. That's the way Mo operates. I'd be shocked if he was pushing to move to Saudi. And that's where I feel like there's not much place for him to go. And that's kind of where you're torn a little bit, because of how he's been since he's came back and how good he can potentially be. I still do think he's more to give. I genuinely do. I don't think he's a busted flush. But it's just a precarious position Liverpool find themselves in now, where they could probably get a nice wedge for him. You have a new regime coming in, you've Slot coming in, who could probably benefit from having the extra 67 million in the coppers, and then the 350 grand a week to divvy out to the lads who you're looking. All right, are you going to hang around long term, a la maybe an extension to Virgil? I don't think Alisson's contract's now in now
2027.
Yeah, but you want to be looking at Trent.
On top of,
and tying them down. Like, so yeah, like it's a healthy position to be in, because it's not like you have this fella who's like, I'll use as an example, but a Casemiro who's like done dusted on a 4 or 5 year deal now on mad money, and you're just not going to get anything out of him. Like, he's not going to get better. Like, you're seeing a steady decline of Casemiro, and it doesn't mean he's a bad player. It's just way too many miles in the clock. His body's starting to let him down, and he's starting to look his age big time. And that's kind of the antithesis of the situation we're in with Mo, whereas he'd still do a job in the Champions League next year if he held on to him, or you can get a lot of money for him. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah.
Do you think he should move like Ronaldo moved more from being a winger to being a number nine through the middle? Do you think Salah needs to make that move, or is it too soon? Or because I can see Salah going on and playing into the same kind of years as the likes of Ronaldo and Messi and stuff like that.
To be honest with you, Emma, like, I don't even think it has to be that difficult. I think if you just let Salah do what he's doing and stop this inverted shite with Trent and let Trent stay with that, you're going to see a much better version of Liverpool or of Trent and of Salah. Like, the whole fallacy of Trent being inverted is being a load of bollocks, because he's doing all the same stuff from that position anyway, as he done 19-20, the year when we won the league, and in 18-19 when we win the Champions League. Not a lot has changed. The only difference is that you just see a little bit more when the ball breaks. He's there in, like, say, the hole in midfield position to take the ball and spray ball. But what's the difference if he's 10 yards closer to the line? I don't think anyone has benefited from this whole inverted Trent role. I think if you just go back to type there with those two, you'd see a marked improvement with them both. But again, like, 4-2-3-1 is Slot's preferred formation. Does that suit Salah? Maybe not, but I think he could probably play in the 10 in that role, to be honest with you. Off a striker, but who knows? We don't know. A spitball here, it's completely hypothetical. But yeah, I always thought the
Trent inverted was literally to help Fabinho's legs out last season when he moved him in there against Arsenal, and that we would move back to the regular times this year, which is fucking baffling.
Like,
and Bradley.
Bradley as well, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because if Arne Slot does come in, he plays, as Shawnee said, he plays 4-2-3-1. Klopp played that as well before he came and realised he had to adapt that. But when you're looking at the players there, maybe a 4-2-3-1, you know, Salah, even if he does stay on the right wing of a 4-2-3-1, it is probably a little bit more of a narrow right wing rather than the hug the touchline, you know. So maybe he will get them closer areas. But one of the things that, touching on Slot for a second, is we're being heavily linked with Hertrude, the defender there, scored for them tonight. And he's a right back, can play centre back, can play left back, can play defensive midfield, but he inverts him all the time as well. So I'm worried that this inverting shite's going to keep going on. Do you know what I mean? Like, that it's not just something that they decided to do, and when Klopp goes, the inverted fullback goes. It could be something that we see a lot more of. But I think the Trent plays against, there's a Villa at the start of the season, and he's nearly playing in between the two centre-backs, and he's dictating the play all game. He's putting balls in, down the channels, over the top, doing brilliant. Other than that, I don't really, as Shawnee said, I don't really think we've seen any benefit to him playing there. Do you know what I mean? It's left, I think, bigger gaps down the side where he was. We always get attacked down Trent's side anyway, because, you know, he leaves them. He's not there. I think he's a good defender. I don't think he's as bad as people make out to be. But he's not, you know, a defensive, centre-back playing there. Yeah, I thought he was brilliant today. And I thought he played more like the old Trent today rather than this 20 minutes or 10 minutes here and there in the middle. It'll be interesting to see what happens when Slot does come in. But
does that inverting Trent take away from Szoboszlai then as well? Because I think they were both trying to occupy the same space on that the right side of midfield.
It's been rubbish. It's been shite. This inverted stuff is a load of crap.
It's like we're doing it for the sake. We're doing it for the sake of doing it.
He's covering as well.
Everyone's just copied Pep with the Zinchenko, Riga, Lewis, Stone stuff, but it only works when you're playing in teams like City. Like, having inverted players doesn't work in a team where you're bleeding gung-ho. Having players inverted only really works if you're a possession-based team who has 95% of the ball and it's giving you another option. Like, yeah. If you're getting turned over in transition and Trent's inverted, there's a big, huge gap where he's supposed to be because if he's at the moving in field. And that's just... I think it's a lot of mumbo-jumbo, this inverted. I hope Arnie Slot's having absolutely no time for it because it just doesn't... I think it's a fallacy. I genuinely do. And I'm not being some sort of a snob about it. I haven't seen it worked outside Man City. Genuinely, I haven't. Like, even Arsenal have tried it with Zinchenko and he just gets torn a new one every time he plays there. And look how much better they look with Jamal Kivior playing left back. He was a natural fullback. Look, we thought Bradley was going to keep Trent out of the team because he was operating as a more out-and-out right-back, right-wing-back. The proof is in the pudding for me, lads. It hasn't worked, and I agree with what you say. It seemed to me like a kind of a patchwork job last year when Fabinho was just running on fumes that it threw her in there and Trent done a few lovely things on the ball where it really worked, but he's not a midfielder. That the whole idea of it has to stop of Trent being a midfielder. Like, people turning around saying he's not going to sign his new contract if he's not promised games in midfield. Well, what's he going to go over and be seven choice? Let's be honest. What's he going to move to fucking Real Madrid and be seven choice midfielder there if he's lucky?
Yeah.
Because he's not getting in ahead of a 38-year-old bleeding Modric and a 36, 37-year-old Toni Kroos. Let's be honest. And I love Trent. I love Trent a bit. He's probably my favourite player in the team. He's just not a midfielder. The whole talk of it needs to go in the bin. And the word inverted needs to be taken out of the dictionary and fucking shot off to the moon or something.
Fair enough. We'll touch slightly onto the game again, right? So we go 4-0 up. We race into a 4-0. Very comfortable. Spurs looked an absolute bleeding calamity of a team. And they have all season. So if we think back to the start of the year, and they beat us, obviously, at whatever that new stadium is called. And they reacted like they'd won the league. And there was a lot of momentum behind them. You know, a lot of positivity, a lot of spin behind Spurs being big challengers. And it got me thinking something you said earlier, Shani. Is Ange Postecoglou a spoofer? And you're looking at them, right? And you look at their recent form. And they were in with a chance of getting into the Champions League, catch Villa, they were having chances. I've never really seen a team so open as them, a top team. And we play pretty open. Like you say, if we can get turned over and can get hit. He's a bit emperor's new clothes for me, Ange, because he's going into the Premier League, maybe with a lot of naivety, and he thinks he can play, you know, a high line, you can attack, you can do this, you can do that. I think he's been one of the most naive managers this season. Where do you stand on him, Sean?
He comes in with the blade. He's a charismatic bloke. And I think that bought him a little bit of time. I think that actually goes a long way, that little bit of charm.
Yep.
But the mask starts slipping very early when the whole Liverpool thing, and he was like, get on with him, mate. And then not lot long after that, then he's kind of berating VAR, and then it's became part of his stick now where he hates VAR, and he was making jokes about going to Sweden and all because they're not implementing VAR and stuff like that. And then you get on to this style of play. Now, for me, it's a little like it's commendable to me that you don't abandon your style of play. But come on, look, that Chelsea game, Spurs at home to Chelsea is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Honest to God, I couldn't tell you what. I don't know whether the game finished 3-4, did it?
Yeah, was it? Yeah. I think so. They ran in loads.
4-3 or 3-2
Yeah, it was one of the maddest
that
things.
Was Arsenal.
Yeah, it was one of the maddest things I've ever seen at that level of football in my life. And he was getting he was getting like commit, like people were, he was getting like people were bigging him up for it, and I was going, that's so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And I think they scored three times in the last 20 minutes. You might be, it was one.
He went 2-1 up on 75 and they still kept pushing, and then two goals in injury time. Chelsea,
yeah,
got,
yeah, like it just
ridiculous.
It was one of the matter, and that's the way I play, mate. And I'm not changing for anyone, yeah, mate. I was like, yeah, well, like, use your bleeding head. Like, you probably get away with that doing that up in Scotland against the likes of St Mirren and bleeding Kilmarnock. You're not going to get away with it in the Premier League. And may I add, that was when Chelsea were an absolute dumpster fire. A Brighton or a Villa probably would have smashed them out at 9-1. And it's come off on them in a few fixtures. But just looking at them the last few weeks, like, that's why I asked today, like, is Ange Spielberg? Like, because I just don't get it. I really don't. Like, then I watched his post-match and, like, the smell of Rodgers of it. Like, saying that it was the best that they played, it's the best that they played in week, that their pressing was on, but Liverpool were just too good in the attack. And I didn't feel like they were in that game at all until they got the two back and when we took our foot off the gas. Richarlison comes on and changes the game because it makes him a little bit more direct. But yeah, like, he spent a few quid, I think he's going to need a few more quid. I don't know, like, getting pipped to fourth by Emery's Villa, who, don't get me wrong, are a good side, but you just need to think, would Spurs be 8 or 9 points better off had Ange just not been this bleeding philosophical tough and just, all right, I'm going to abandon you. I have got a good squad of players here who can play multiple ways. It's all right playing on your own halfway line when you have your man Van de Ven, because he's the quickest thing I've seen on two legs. But if he's not, if he's out for 3 months and your system is so heavily reliant on him, like, just go back to basics. Like, be hard to be compact, win your battles. Don't be putting your team at an instant disadvantage by playing this fucking stupid system. Arsenal set up last week was just perfect against them. Just put 11 behind the ball and let them have the ball. And you could see that they were just like, we know you're going to make mistakes and we'll kill you. And we'll kill it. And that's exactly what happened. So, yeah, for me, Jordy's out on Ange. Nice bloke and all. Or he pretends to be, at least. But how far he's going to take Spurs, I don't know. I'd imagine he's going to be one who gets a little bit to spend in the summer and could probably find himself under big pressure around Christmas time if they're not in the heel of the hunt.
Yeah. It's funny because Van de Ven went off injured in that Chelsea game at half time and he still persisted with a high line when Chelsea's only bleeding way home, and that was in the quick forward line. You know, it was just baffling. Emma, what do you make of Big Ange? And is he the real deal? Are we being too harsh on him? Would you have liked to see him as a contender for the Liverpool job next season? Where do you want him?
Come here. I think the only reason he was mentioned as the Liverpool possible Liverpool manager is because he said that he was a Liverpool supporter. It's nearly like a romantic appointment. I wouldn't want them anywhere near. You need to do a hell of a lot more than like win stuff at Celtic and then come down and manage Spurs. To me, he's just a more expansive Australian Sam Allardyce. Even looks a bit like him. But you do need it. They're too one-dimensional. Like, it's any team going out to play Spurs will know how to beat them. You just drag them out, stick the ball out wide, swing it into the box. They're absolutely shocking at crosses. I think they've probably conceded the most goals from crosses this season. He needs to do a hell of a lot more. He's too one-dimensional. I don't pay that much attention to Spurs or him, but from what I've seen of him, we've said it about Klopp. You need to be able to change your style of play in a game, not from game to game. You need to do it to change. Roll with the punches, see what happens, and then adapt. And he just seems to be too pig-headed and thinks that this is the way I play and this is the way we're going to play regardless. And he's actually even said those words. So, no, he needs to be more adaptable.
Yeah, indeed. Project 5AM there was the black armband for Yozza Yuz today. So anyone of an older persuasion will know Bernard Hill from Boys from the Black Stuff died. And yeah, they probably was. Gives a job. Yozza Yuz, rest in peace. Shawnee touched on something there about he felt we were in control. Didn't think Spurs really had a foothold in the game. They brought on Richarlison and he went direct. But another thing that I wanted to talk about, and again, it's something that was mentioned in our chat earlier, was when Slot does come in, because look, we know, if you've seen his interviews and that the other day, you know, the fella couldn't keep the blade smile off his face. You know, he was getting very giddy talking about Liverpool or not talking about them. But the defence is going to take a bit of work. Right? Shawnee said it earlier, we give up an awful lot of chances. We give up too many chances and we're maybe a little bit easy to do. Sean, I'm going to come back to you on it. What do you think we can do with this defence? Or what would you like to see doing with the defence? Would you think personnel need to change? Is it a system change? Is it just not as attacking? What do you think has to happen here? Because it is a bit of a concern, the amount of chances and the, not even the amount of chances. It's like we give up periods of the game. We just sort of stop playing. Today, Spurs just got into it and we just went to shite. How do we fix it? Or what's your suggestions for this?
I think it's system and personnel, to be honest with you. We're too easily got out in transition. We don't deal with counter-attacks very well. And I think concentration is a massive, massive issue for the players that are in there. Don't get me wrong, Kwanzaa is excellent today, but I do think concentration is a big killer with Liverpool. But we spoke about a few weeks ago when I was talking about just like the small details of balls rolling under Kanate's foot, passes out wide to the fullbacks, just not being on it, not being sharp enough, conceding chances early in games. Like 4-0 today, we switch off. It's definitely a concentration issue. I think it's something that needs to be coached our players, and I do think that new personnel in there would make a world of difference. Endo's been great, but I do think we need a top operator at six in there to be covering that offence. He's done really, really well. But I think if we're to progress in the league and in the Champions League next year, you're going to need a top operator in that position. You see the difference that Royce has made to Arsenal and Rodri makes to Man City. They're real difference makers. And I remember in the summer, people going, Declan Royce is not owed 100 million. I wonder if they're under the same opinion now, because he is a transformative type of player where not only are you building your defence around them, they're key in attack as well. They're huge in terms of setting us off. So, yeah, I think all of the above, I think it can all be worked on. I think it's the biggest area of concern for me is the amount of chances we create. We let teams into games, we give them sniffs, whereas 19-20 when we're winning league, like, I genuinely remember I got annoyed if we conceded a chance. Like, I remember if we conceded chances, I was like, yeah, that would bother me. It bugged me. That was the level we were at. So you kind of, that's what you want to aspire to. I think we have a serious, serious centre-back in our hands with Gerald Kwanzaa. I genuinely, he's magnificent. I think if he was on the market playing for another team, playing the way he is, you'd be up in arms looking for Liverpool to bring him in the summer. If he was brought in for a nominal fee last summer, you'd be delighted talking about him being one of the signings of the season. Yeah, there's obvious flaws in his game, but he's at an end of the pitch that when you make mistakes, they're normally they're under a telescope, that can under a microscope, and that can happen. So yeah, I think it's a mixture of both. I think a top class six and reinforcement in the centre back area, which I'd imagine is almost guaranteed with Matip being out the door, and rumours like circulating that Joe Gomez would be happy to move on as well. So yeah, I think there's areas for improvement all over the back four. barring maybe, well, barring Alisson, yeah, I think there's room to improve there and across the back foot and the whole midfield area. And that's not me. That's not me digging out Endo. He's been excellent. He genuinely has. I think we've just seen him at his capacity in the last few weeks where he's playing every 3 or 4 days, and he's not able. It's fit. As fit and athletic as he is. We've just seen a fella at the end of his tether for this season, unfortunately, because he's just not used to playing that amount of games. So, yeah, that would be my outlook on it. And that would be my biggest concern for an incoming manager. Because the old adage is that, yeah, goals win games, but defence wins your titles. And I don't think that that always rings true in football.
Yeah, Emmett, what do you make the defence? Do you think is concerning for yourself? Do you think it needs changes to the personnel? Do you think it's, as Shawnee touched on, a key in the six role? What's your take on it?
No, I agree with Shawnee in terms of concentration. So, I mean, today we conceded the first goal we conceded against Spurs today. We conceded a carbon copy goal against Atalanta. They were more concerned about playing Richarlison offside than where the ball was going out to the far wing. And then Richarlison stands offside and then obviously doesn't become... He's a 5-yard head start on them before that ball gets swung in. The exact same goal that Atalanta scored against us. Regardless of this season, you should always be looking to keep your squad ticking over. When was the last time we... So Konate being the last time we... added a centre half, like Shawnee says, Matip's probably going to go. We added to the midfield last season, probably could do it. I don't think Endo was ever the answer. I don't even think he probably was supposed to play as many games as he did. But injuries, I think, not making excuses, I just think the injuries we had this season, not only the amount of them, but the timing of them. So you remember back in February, March time, we all said, Jesus, everybody's back. And then, boom, Trent went. I think Jota went. And we were back. And then Trent comes back. Then Bradley gets injured. Just when it looks like you're going to have a full squad and to be able to rotate for these games every 3 days. But I don't think Endo was probably meant to play that amount. I don't know whether they saw Gravenberch playing there, but I don't think that's probably going to work out in terms of him playing that position. So... definitely, somebody said there, Ugarte, as far as I know, is out of favour at PSG. We were interested in him. Maybe somebody like that. Cooper Miners, I'm not sure. Cooper Miners is more kind of he's more attacking midfielder, isn't he? Yeah. But definitely, we definitely need to keep the squad ticking over. With a new manager coming in, he's definitely going to have looked at the players we have, what kind of style he wants to play, and he'll have probably already earmarked what players... I won't pronounce your man's name. I would call him Gertrude, but you know the proper pronunciation of it. He may very well be one of them. And people worried that he'll go back and start going after the Feyenoord players, much the same as Ten Hag went after. I don't think he will. Maybe one, if anything. We just need to freshen up things, I think. Definitely a set a half. I definitely think that even if Salah stays, we probably need to look at bringing someone in that's going to be his successor. Maybe somebody young. I know we've still got Doak to come back, but he's still relatively unproven. And then a central defensive midfielder. So three, four players. A lot of people were digging out Bojetic as well. That was a bit... It was a bit unfair. I know we were winning 4-0 when he throws him on, but still not a great game to come on. And I think that's his first minute, is it? Or has he come on since?
He came on earlier and then went back out again, didn't he?
There was just people online saying that he came on and didn't look up to speed. Of course he didn't. He's been out for the guts of a year. Do you know what I mean? But even the little flashes of him today, the way he just drops that shoulder and turns, it's just... we've seen what he's like, but I don't necessarily think that he would be the answer. So I think we need, centre half. I think we could possibly looking at left back as well. I think Costas might be moved on. Robbo's not getting any younger. But again, this is all, I'm not saying these players should be coming in to replace these players, but they should certainly be coming in to maybe challenge or push these players for their positions.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, that you touched on Raiden, Feyenoord, and the worry about Ten Hag. And I think the fact that Edwards is back now calling the shots, I don't think will allow, you know, us, he's not going to be getting free rein to just do what he wants, slot, you know what I mean? Maybe these will be the players you're getting, mate, and you're going to work with them and do your best. And he might say, look, I'd really, really like to get Hertruyder from Feyenoord, or I'd love to get Mats Wiever to come in and play, because he does the defensive midfield, and he's not a destroyer, he's more of a Frankie De Jong type of player. Maybe look for something like that, but it's going to be Richard Hughes and it's going to be Michael Edwards that'll be signing the players and they'll be giving them to him.
But I remember, Edwards is the bloke who told Klopp he's not getting Julian Brandt and he's getting Mo Salah.
Yeah,
not really,
exactly.
I'd like your man Kirkes from Bournemouth.
No, but that, yeah, I but, do think he's going to be someone who is definitely looked at. Like, I think you need to, obviously, I think expectations need to be adjusted, but you'll know straight away what direction it's going as soon as you see solid links to who you're bringing in. And you'll know whether they're going, okay, I'll be bringing lads in of a really high ilk who are going to go straight. Look, Ala Szoboszlai, like last year, when you're, look, you're going in, you're getting a Szoboszlai, he's ready to go straight back in. Or you're looking at someone like Somerville, Archie Gray, if Leeds don't come up to saying 2-3 years down the line, this fella is going to kick on. Kirkes, Robbo's moving on soon, this is going to be the natural. You're going to see whether they're going to go gung-ho and go for broke to win next year, or they're basically saying to Slot, look, next year is year one. And I know people don't like this rhetoric because they want everything yesterday. This is year one, and let's see where we are in year two, year three, and with these type of players, and we're going to develop these players. So, look, it's going to be interesting. It definitely excites me. I'm not going to lie about it.
Yeah, it's that old thing, isn't it? You always get excited with new transfers and new manager and all that sort of stuff. And I want to touch on something as well, because we wouldn't have spoke about it, but, you know, Klopp's press conference on Friday, and he sort of went at the broadcasters and things like that, and it looks like he's going to be swinging a few haymakers over the next few weeks. Did you like what he was doing, Emmett? Did you like what he was saying? Did you like the Klopp that he was he seemed to be taking aim at a few of his nemesis?
You definitely know he started with the television broadcasters, because I don't think they can give us another half 12 from now till the end of the season. So I think what he's done is he's kept receipts. There'll be no point in going in on the officials just yet, because they could still screw us over in the last couple of games. But I definitely think come the last weekend, he's definitely going to be, he's going to have a few people's numbers, and it's just going to get worse. I don't want to say worse and worse, because for us it's going to be better and better, but for them it's going to be worse and worse the closer we get to the end of the season. But he's right, and then you've all these other teams coming out and saying, oh, he's always moaning this and that, whatever. Let's get this straight, right? Everything that he ever complains and moans about eventually comes true to most teams and most clubs, not only in the Premier League but in world football's benefit. 5 substitutes. Nobody wanted them. Now they're all delighted that they have them. I'm nearly sure he had a hand in the no 12:30s after you play on a Wednesday in the Champions League. He doesn't particularly like the 12:30s. Everything that he said, he's even come out and backed Liverpool's own fans with the likes of the tickets increase, originally the £77 ticket. Everything he says is not only for the benefit of Liverpool, but football in general. Like, you can't treat footballers, I was going to say like animals, but you just can't treat, like, there's too much being expected of them. Not just Liverpool players, all football players. More games next season in the Champions League. I know they've got rid of replays in the FA Cup, but like there's only so much human bodies can actually take. And I doubt, like, yes, obviously his main concern would have been Liverpool, but if you listen to him talking, he talks about footballers and football clubs in general. So like, I'd say they're all going to be delighted. Not one other person has had that bravery to stick their head above the parapet like he has, to his own detriment sometimes.
Pep dug him out, in fairness. Pep dug him out yesterday.
I think, actually, you know what? I think Solskjaer, actually, when he was at United, I think he piped up a few times as well. But other than that, there's not been many. But now I'm loving it. And I honestly think that it's just going to be his press. It's going to be bring popcorn to his press conferences from now till the end of the season. But I think he'll save the best to last when it comes to the officials.
Yeah, Shawnee, what have you made of it? Do you like in the box office club for the next few weeks?
Yeah, well, do you know what? Like, opposition fans used to always dig him out for moaning, and you could always, like, you could see their argument that it was, he had his own MO, but he doesn't have a horse in the race anymore. And that's what he was making abundantly clear the other day, that, look, I'm gone and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Like, I don't have, like, it's not going to bother me again. Like, I'm done with it. But my point still stands. And then he made it look as if to say, look, there's three big European competitions going on now and there's not one. He says, well, looking at a situation where there's not one English team in any of the finals. And is that because of quality? No, I don't think so. He said, I watch a lot of football and the English league is the best league in the world. He goes, but they're the most overworked players in the world as well. And it's just, it's a matter of fact. You can't turn around and say, now his rhetoric has remained the same, although he no longer has a horse in the race. And one of you said it already, that he's the type of person that's always proved right 9 months down the line when something changes, you know. I just think you just need to take the rubbish out of it and the tribalism out of it and think to yourself, okay, where do you draw the line? Like, I'm not stupid enough to think that because a fella earns 250 grand a week that he's able to run further than the body is humanly possible. Like, are these fellas training 5 days a week? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's more. It's not sustainable. It's getting to the stage now where it's becoming, it's at a detriment to the quality in the football that you're watching. I think that's going to become abundantly clear the more games that we play. You throw on top of what they're looking to do with this new Club World Cup, new Champions League. Talk now that broadcasters in America are starting to pull their weight on wanting games to be played across stateside. Not only is it shit on the players, it's absolutely brutal on the fans. So I think an element of power needs to be taken back by football clubs and fans alike in terms of and just putting a stop to this, because you can't turn around and say we're the ones that pay our bills. But then you could turn around to the advertisers and go, yeah, well, hold on. Pull the Premier League away from TNT and Sky and see how many subscriptions they sell.
Yeah.
Trust me, one needs more, way more than the other needs them. So I think there's an opportunity for, like, I think that the whole metaphor is circling around football at the moment, where I think that we're in the last chance of Saloon. Last chance Saloon at the opportunity to put the genie back in the bottle here regarding FFP, player welfare, fan welfare, looking after the fans. I think the next 18 months is going to be absolutely crucial in the history and landscape of football as we know it, because as is with 28, 30 man squads, it's not sustainable. And then again, and over that, you're asking a manager, you're going to need two managers. You're going to need two coaches. You can't ask a fella to manage a 40, 50 team squad. You're seeing Poch trying to do it this year. It's impossible. Putting extension rooms on dressing rooms and stuff like that. And that's actually what's going to be needed now. By the time that's what they're asking. Like, it's just not going to, it's not going to cut it anymore. Klopp has always been right on this. People thought he was just a moany old bollocks giving out about it, but I love the way he framed it as well. Take the advice from the old man who was on the way out the door. It's not good and it does need to change. And I do like that clip. Pep rode in behind him and said, look, he's right. And it does have to change. And he's done his fair bit of moaning as well at the same time. I never bought into the 12-30 conspiracy, but I do genuinely think that they just took the piss for it this year, because it was a thing that Liverpool played the 12-30s. We've played double, and it's for the Asian market, and it is adjusting and to all of them and who brings in the money. But again, the football is what pays the bills for these major sports companies. They need to, it needs to be rolled in big time, because every other country, like, they don't, like, PSG didn't play in the league last week when they fuck it off, because they want that team to do well in Europe, where they're not catered. They should be catered, because that's what you should want. You know, like, that's exactly what you should want. And when the players go out now and play in the Euros and they're all goosed and there's injuries popping up everywhere and their countries are getting knocked out, you're going to be wondering, okay, what could we have done to help? And all they're doing is just milking the cow dry. And it's getting to a stage now where there's going to be no milk left, and the quality of football is going to be absolutely dire, because it's not sustainable.
Klopp said in the press conference, which I thought was hit the nail on the head, you know, the TV companies and the Premier League should be partners, but you've only got one side that are just squeezing the other. And you're seeing what's happening with, you know, games all over the place, times, recovery times. Guardiola went mad after they got knocked out against Real Madrid, wasn't it? And they had to play Chelsea then. And was it did they play Chelsea on the Saturday? And they could have played on the Sunday. But the TV dictates who's playing when, and it is only going one way. And you made a good point there. You know, it's a big year coming ahead with all these changes, with Manchester City's, you know, legal case, things like that. What will happen there? It's gonna be an interesting time ahead.
The thing is, Pep only did it after they got knocked out.
Oh yeah.
So he's doing it as a reaction, whereas Klopp has done it all the way along. No, even when we were in everything.
No, I don't agree with that, Emma, to be fair. Because he turned around and he said after the FA Cup game a few weeks ago, why are we playing today? Like, Coventry and United aren't playing in Europe. Why are we playing today? Like, why?
Yeah, but that was after they got knocked out.
That was
before the fourth game, wasn't it?
No, it was after. So they got knocked out by Real, and they had to play Chelsea in the cup that Saturday. So they were bollocks.
Then he complains about it.
Well, he's right though.
Oh, he is right.
No, he is right, but he needs to have been doing it all along. Like, other managers should be backing him rather than just keeping quiet.
Yeah,
and now they get when they, it's the same as anything. It's like same as like, fans only actually moan about it when it impacts them. It's for the greater good of the whole of football. Some of these things that he's saying, so everybody should be pulling together and complaining about it or voicing their opinions on it. But instead, they wait and they don't do it. It's like Arsenal with VAR and stuff like that. They didn't back us when we had that dodgy one against Spurs, but then when they thought they had a dodgy one, then all of a sudden they're vocal about it. Whereas they should really be just backing each other. And now it's tribalism, but look, he's vocal about it all of the time, whereas others only become vocal when it actually impacts them.
Yeah, look, it's always the way with him, isn't it? But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he does over the next couple of weeks with his press conferences. Madge Apple put a comment in here, an interesting one. Wouldn't surprise me if they gave him a petty yellow against Villa to spoil the farewell at Anfield. Couldn't do that. Jesus Christ. Just still going anyway. Fuck it. I'm going to that game, so you better be on the fucking sideline.
Did you get a ticket?
I did, yeah. Got a ticket, yeah. Say nothing. Anyway, I had a ticket on the proviso that they weren't going to win the league. So once the season fell to shite.
That's another thing. The amount of tickets. I'm delighted they actually had a really good performance today and stuffed Spurs, because the amount of tickets that became available this week because all of a sudden Liverpool aren't going for a league. Like, you should be going to support your team regardless.
Yeah. That's it. Well said. But just hopefully there's no bleeding skullduggery with referees, because we all know that there's a huge, huge issue. Shawnee said it all along. Klopp made a rod for his own back. I was actually watching the highlights of the Spurs game last year when he runs up to Brooks. And I could understand his frustration, really. You know what I mean? He's had issues with Tierney loads of times before. And then the one with Brooks, that was the one that fucking really screwed him over this year, I think. But hopefully there's no more shite now for the rest of the season. Do you know what I mean? They can't really pull a fucking fast one. But it'll be interesting to see who the refs are, because I think they only get decided on closer to the week. Not like they're not in advance, aren't they? Not like the officials will only be announced.
Yeah, it's about a week before, yeah.
Yeah, so we won't know who's going to be reffing those games. But yeah, hopefully
doesn't. So look, if he does get the yellow, we and you're going to the game, we'll have a spare ticket for the place we're going, so he can come with us to that place.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. You can have my ticket. Fuck it. Now look, it's going to be interesting. I'm glad Liverpool print a good performance today. Right, they did a dodgy few minutes when they conceded the two goals, but ultimately I thought they were a better team and deserved to win comfortably today, which they did. Before we finish up, lads. We're gonna do sausage of the week, and we're gonna do the one. Right, so I have a question, right? One, I'm gonna stick with Liverpool team, right? One Liverpool music artist, their music stays forever, and everyone else is gone. So you're gonna pick it. It could be a band or a singer. It can't have the Beatles. Liverpool. Yeah, can't have the Beatles. Right, so the Beatles are out. A Scouse band or singer whose music stays. And everyone else goes, who would you pick? Have a minute to think over that one. Has anyone got any sausage of the week?
Well, it has to be only one person.
Why?
Well, Jerry Marsden, otherwise you never walk alone, is gone, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, there's other artists out there that have some bangers.
I know, but his music will disappear, which means that song will disappear surely. Or can we still sing it?
Well, look, if you want to be technical about it, you did it rightly, you know what I mean?
You know what I mean, yeah. But he's
saying the song is still there. So you're keeping Jerry and the Pacemakers.
No.
Yeah, Jerry and the Pacemakers have loads of good songs if you like that. Yeah, 16 Jersey beat stuff.
I'm trying to think.
The Lads, probably for me.
Yeah.
You like The Lads?
There She Goes is a blatant all timer, in my opinion.
Right, okay, There She Goes, and you could probably have cast out of that as well, couldn't you?
Yeah, because
John Power, he was in the last one, you could have cast. What about Frankie Goes to Hollywood? Any papers for that?
Yeah,
it's
bit of Frankie, yeah, Holly Lightning Johnson, Seeds. Lightning Seeds, Echo and the Bunny Man, yeah, love it, good show. Anyone else cast getting a shot? Yeah, there's a few.
The Firm are all together now, aren't they?
Yeah, aren't they?
I think they did the Firm play. Is it 30 years ago today when the original Cop got knocked down? I think the Firm played at Anfield that day. I'm looking at these, dead or alive.
T-Bones, why not?
Yeah,
great song, banger.
Atomic Kitten. Sorry, I'm going to go with that.
Silla
Black.
Silla has some great songs as well. Bit of a sap.
The Corals. The Coral are good as well.
The Zootons. We wouldn't have Valerie if we didn't have the Zootons.
Ultra B. Elvis Costello. Is Elvis Costello? He's not from Liverpool. Is he?
He's a Liverpool fan. Is he from Liverpool? I don't think he's from Liverpool, is he?
Yeah, I would go with either The Lads or The Lightning Seeds.
There you go, why not? I like it. So.
Oh, yeah, Jamie Webster, somebody's saying.
Yeah, each their own, you know, that's what you're into. Got my Jamie Webster, yeah. Flock of Seagulls. There's loads.
Flock of Seagulls are not Scouse.
Yeah. Flock of Seagulls, yeah.
I ran.
Yeah, Flock of Seagulls. Around the Flock of Seagulls. You could have who else? The real thing Scousers.
The Zootons. They were Scousers. They wrote Valerie, which is an all timer as well. Like that. Like I know Amy Winehouse done a great job on it, but they wrote it.
Yeah,
that's an all timer. There's been some good songwriters born now out of Merseyside catchment, let's say.
Yeah, the real thing, you know, you to me, you're everything, the sweetest song that I can sing, oh baby. There you go. Loads of them. Some good ones. Gav will be good to miss this one. Sausage of the week. Who are we going for?
I think it has to be either the person who told Klopp that we pay you to play football, or Simon Jordan.
Drake.
Sean. Drake.
Drake. Yeah, Drake the rapper, yeah. I don't know how many years I work on.
What did he do?
He's
bad
just
ones for Drake.
He's having an act like he had a goa. Like the, now the way they used to diss in the '90s in hip hop, like now Vaseline, Ice Cube, yeah, and Easy A and stuff like that. And
it's gone off the scale a bit at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But he had a go at Kendrick Lamar, who I consider the best ever, to be honest, to work in that field, and it's just gone horribly wrong for him because he's pulled every skeleton out of the proverbial closet at the moment, and Drake, like, people are starting to wonder, right, this fella actually might be a paedophile now, because he wanted to have a go with this fella on a song. So sausage of the week, just don't go at Kendrick Lamar.
You see the J. Cole thing? J. Cole has a fucking diss
track. J. Cole said sorry,
apologizes, and then whips it off the streaming services, and Drake is going mad at this, and it's like, lads, what is going on here? Like, back in the day, they know Vaseline and all, they were bleeding hard hitting ones where they're apologizing and all these days.
But the last few Kendrick ones have been fairly heavy, very, very bad. And look, I'm into hip hop, I'm into that, and I never liked Drake.
I don't even count him as a rapper. I think he's a singer type of character.
Yeah, he's a big cornball, so Drake for the hip hop enthusiasts in the group for me is sausage of the week. Ryan Garcia as well is a great show.
I wouldn't even know where to buy steroids. That's the giveaway, wasn't it? I wouldn't even know where you get them. Yeah, I think you're guilty now, Ryan. Miel China. Emmett, what are you throwing? Simon Jordan?
I don't know the person's name. I think it was apparently somebody from TNT that said that we pay, like when the club was giving out with 1230s, that we pay you to play football.
Yeah.
But the only reason you pay him is because you earn that much money off the clubs, the Premier League. Like they're handing out nearly 200 million a season to the Premier League clubs, and you think they're not making maybe that plus more in profit on top of that. So without the Premier League, they wouldn't be earning the money that they're paying them to play. So for Simon Jordan, for like, they're all going in on Mo. He's one of those people that sometimes you agree with him and then sometimes he's a fucking arsehole. But like this rhetoric against Salah, I know we had a moan and complain about him the last few weeks that he's not been on form, but to say that he basically said he's not world class.
Very good.
Very good, not world class. It's a stupid statement to make.
In fairness, we based their criticism on the fact that he was stinking the gaff out a bit, whereas Simon Jordan based it on the fact that
he's talking about
leading genocide, you know what I mean? Yeah. That tipped him over the edge. And then there was the John Terry Blade podcast that he done, which I thought was an absolute fucking disgrace, to be honest. Did you watch that? Jordan with Terry?
I saw clips of it.
I was watching it the other day, and he's just talking, making out to be the victim and all, and it's a real puff piece by Jordan. I think he lost a bit of credibility with it for me, because he just let Terry go on and go on about, you know, how hard done by he's seen by the whole thing, and you know, like, move on here, you know what I mean?
The story about the academy players being in first class, and John Terry and, was it Lampard and Drogba saying that the plane is going nowhere if they're staying in first class.
Never strike me as the most intelligent bloke, to be fair. God bless him.
Sure, there was the story.
And he's being interviewed there thinking that that's going to make him look good.
Yeah. Well, there was a story, wasn't that he went into a Lebanese restaurant and demanded a burger and chips, And they're like, you don't serve burger and chips here. Well, I want the burger and chips. Get the chef out. The chef's running amok. You're not getting a scene who it was and went and made him a fucking burger and chips because of who he was. Just an arrogance about the fella. You know what I mean?
LFC said, Sean, he should be all the sausage of the week with that fringe. I think it looks great personally, but he said, I don't know. Ask your missus. She told me to wear it like this.
can we just pick up on something that's been flying in the chat there as well? Nunes has apparently deleted all
trends. Yeah, he did. Yeah, I had a look there myself. I seen it.
I went back. Now there is still stuff back going back a bit, but he still has tagged Liverpool in his bio and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know.
They do check that shit. You know what I mean? Their social media, it's a big...
22nd of November, 2022 is the last time there's a pick there from Liverpool. So, I don't know.
I don't know. Do you read that into it?
Look, social media is... like, you're absolutely mad if you think... Again, it's very similar to what we were talking about earlier about these lads being able to run loads because they earn a lot of money. Like, they're not infallible to what they read online, just because their bank accounts are wedged with cash. It's obviously, he does seem like an emotional character. Yeah. And I'd imagine that is eating away at him. He was shite when he came on today. He was awful when he came on. So I don't know. It's hard to know. He's another one as well in the kind of, you just don't know what's gonna. I could easily see him going as well. In the summer, I'm being honest. I could see the club probably going, all right, it's best for you and the club to move on. Not that I want it. I'm not saying that I want that, but I could easily see that. So it's a little bit. I hate seeing that even with rival fans, teams and fans and players. It's not something I like seeing, because at the end of the day, you should never take away the human side. Someone Martin said there about Declan Rice's misses as well. Like, that's horrible. Absolutely shocking. Like, carry on. Like, you know, like, it's tribalism makes fucking ages out of everyone. That's my biggest takeaway, and I'll continue to hold that opinion.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to end it. I think it's a positive message, lads. Lord, I don't know what the plans are for the week, with it being a bank holiday. I'm sure Gav will be back tomorrow and more shows during the week. It's always good to come on and have a chat on a Sunday night about these things, but at least we weren't talking about a defeat or an absolute scaldy performance. So have you anything else to add, Shawnee, before we wrap her up?
No, all good. Couple of more weeks now until we're in the Mersey sun.
Hopefully we bit of sun.
We'll all be standing outside watching Keith going in to scan his tickets to go into the last game, Claps Ryan at Anfield.
Hoping it doesn't scan.
Don't worry about us, Keith. We'll be all right.
Ah, no, she was down with me there, fuck's sake. Last year we went over for the last home game. Absolute blazing sunshine over there, so we're hoping for more of the same. For next, 2 weeks away, is it? 2 weeks till the last game, something like that.
Day 2 weeks, we're going. I think the others are going the day before, so
that'll be good. So if you're in Liverpool,
we booked on the Tuesday to cover the parade.
you know what I mean? You have to plan these things just in case. anyone sees us around in the sun, say hello, you know, yourself, the usual stuff. But we'll leave it there. So I've been your host, Keith. That's been Shawnee. That's been Emmett. And we'll see you all again soon.
Sports Social Podcast Network.